recorded live.
What's up, people? Once again, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, and I'm joined once again by co-host, professor of all things sports, knowledgeable about all things, Mr. Craig Barzee. What up, man?
Man, that's the best intro you've ever done for me in your whole entire life. It's about damn time, man. That's all I got.
I try to throw some extra juice on it, man, today. Try to hype it up, man, because I'm hyped up today, man. We got a lot of stuff going on, man. Wild stuff, man. And before we really speak on it, man, I'm going to start off like this, okay? Santonio Holmes, we seen today, was traded for a fifth-round pick to the New York Jets. They said if they couldn't get better, they were going to release the guy, man. So, I mean, they're treating like he's just damaged goods.
Pretty much. There's obviously some things we don't know about, man, because let's put it to you this way. You don't go from a Super Bowl MVP wide receiver to being on a scrap heap overnight. And I mean, he's had his discretions, man, you know, with the weed and the, you know, people like to throw the kids things in there, you know.
The nightclub incident, the Twitter incident, yeah.
I mean, he's had some issues, man, but, I mean, obviously there's more to it than just this past incident, man. I think they may have been something even there. Plus, you know, they said he's getting suspended for violating the substance abuse policy.
Yeah, he's smoking again. He's sitting out four games next year. The Jets took on the deal knowing that. So, I mean, they know he's out four games.
So I think the Steelers, man, is kind of like they're fed up of it. And he's kind of like in the case where, like, hey, somebody got to be made an example of.
It reminds me of that old Coach Tark quote, man. You know what I mean? Where the Steelers were so mad at Big Ben that they traded Santonio Holmes. You know what I mean? In the sense of, I know it's a big problem for him, but it's just kind of funny that it would come out today when the DA for Georgia had to make his statement about Big Ben.
Somebody had to pay, man. Somebody had to, in the eyes of their fans, and in the eyes of you know, the rest of the world watching, man. They gotta show organizational control, man. You can't have players ripping and running. So,
yeah, but is this football or are we watching, you know what I mean, a reality show called The Corporation and this is public relations 101? Like, what is going on here, man?
Probably a little bit of both, man. Tell you the truth, like I said, people want, you know, you could kind of look at it through racial lines, man. And then again, you kind of look at it, who has the most power to wield? Santonio Holmes, you a wide receiver. We go out and replace you. Can't replace a franchise quarterback. So
after you've
like,
given him that contract.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, man. If somebody got to go, we got to make an example out of him. We'll live with making an example out of Santonio Holmes.
Right.
Therefore, we send an example to everybody. It won't be tolerated. Ben Roethlisberger, I expect some kind of repercussions for his, you know, for his off the field activities this, you know, this off season. I expect him to get some kind of edict go down on his head here. Probably, you know, sometime soon, either by Roger Goodell or the Pittsburgh Steelers themselves. Yeah, I don't think it's over with him. I mean, it may not be as severe as was Antonio, then, you know, getting them the hell up out of it. But it'll definitely be some kind of repercussions for these activities, man. Roger Goodell almost has to do something because the precedent has already been set, and you know, people watching him like, We're waiting to see. You done said all this kind of thing about it. You know, it's the shield is a privilege, and we got to protect that shield. Well, hey, Ben Roethlisberger's name been scullied, and, you know, he's part of the NFL, and the NFL, when your name gets brought up in two incidents involving sexual assault.
Yeah, I mean, this goes beyond Vic. We're talking about sexual assault here. This is worse than animal abuse. We're talking about something serious.
Hey, man, some people's eyes, it's not. Some people's eyes, man, it's not. They will put the dog fighting thing way more worse than anything that could happen. Even a child molestation. Shit.
Now, that's sick, man. That's sick if there are people out there who actually feel like that. That's some sick stuff right there.
I mean,
but this situation, though, man, you heard the guy say, you know, they're not going to press. He doesn't have a case, basically. But when you heard the breakdown and you see the little transcripts, they're talking about bodyguard led the girl to the bathroom. Big Ben follows in. They're saying there might be some DNA there and, you know, everything else. This is crazy.
Look, man, you know how this went down, man. I'm imagining how this went down.
Let me hear this, man.
This is all pure speculation, man. I mean, I used to work in a nightclub, man. I've seen some shady stuff go down in the bathrooms, man.
Right.
She probably had a few in her, man. Feeling herself. Ben Roethlisberger was probably feeling her, too, a little bit. You know, some shit went down. She was like, you know, sometimes if you want to get freaky in the club, hey,
mm-hmm.
there ain't nobody to stop you. It's like, okay, we go in the bathroom, we'll do something. Probably even stop, probably getting this joint copped off. And, and you know, you said the chick slipped. So you know there was something going on in there if she's slipping in the damn bathroom stall. So I imagine that there was something going down in there. Something happened. Maybe chick got a, you know, chick realized, you know, what she's doing. And, you know, hey, maybe felt a little embarrassed, ran up out of there, what have you. Maybe Ben didn't finish. Who knows, man? But something went down. It was of the sexual nature. For a guy Ben's age, man, to have that much on the line, man, you ain't in college no more, player, man. You should get that kind of crap out your head. Can't be in no club room partaking of such activities when you're that big of a name, man. You leave that kind of crap to the third guy on the bench, man.
Right.
Take your thirsty ass home,
Big Ben. That's
exactly,
ridiculous,
man.
You don't need to be in a small town trying to lock down any co-ed, big-eyed co-eds. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous, man. I can't believe he put himself out there like this. Now he's got to deal with the repercussions.
After what he went through, you know, previously with that chick in Las Vegas, man.
Right.
In the case of sometimes people ain't learning their lessons, man. I know that trim kind of falls down easy to you. You know, when you're such a big name, and you're a real big celebrity. I know that trim kind of comes down real easy, but sometimes, man, you gotta say, man, is it worth it? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is random chick, man, just some random chick, and you are. For all the crap I heard out there against Kobe Bryant and other athletes who they said out there behaving unscrupulously, you really never heard that about Big Ben, man. But you know, it's to be expected, man. You know, when I'm just gonna put it out there like this, man. When a black athlete does it, everybody, like I told you, man, these people can't act. They don't know how to behave with money, man. They just athletes, you know, a black athlete out there looking to damn nail down anything in sight. Well, it goes both ways. People see it now, man, but people ain't really saying much of stuff on how they said, like your boy Mike Lupica said about Kobe Bryant when this went down. All the morals of an alley cat, you know what I mean?
Right. So speak on being the same way, but that goes back to the same old issues we have in America, man. We have two sets of standards of looking at people. You have people who look at people who are similar to them, and they can kind of identify with them as, you know, like my little cousin or, you know, like my little brother. Oh, boys will be boys. He made a mistake. But those other guys, they fit that stereotype of what they've seen in movies and heard about and everything else. And yeah, that guy's just like that. It's believable. With Ben, as you know, there's a lot of doubt involved. And when you find out that the girl, if she was going to go through with this, she was going to have a lot of pressure on her because her name was going to be out there, image. They were going to go through her history. Everything was going to be out there. So, I mean, I don't like when people kind of dismiss it and say, oh, well, this chick just wants money. We don't really know that for sure. Because that is a lot to go through if you want to go through the rough side of it. But I do believe there will be a civil suit coming up for some bucks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a complicated situation, man, this boy done got himself into. But I got to say this, though. As far as NFL ownership, it's not really in their best interest to bury Big Ben. Smack him on the hand a little bit, yeah. But to bury Big Ben, it's not really in their best interest.
Nah, it's not.
And I don't think it's going to happen because I know they like to put on the front like Roger Goodell's just this tough guy out there doing things, but hell, he's the owner's employee.
Which, you know, I'll say this thing here, man. It's never good to bury the, you know, to come out, but you know, they ain't gonna bury him because you can't really, you know, he's pretty much a golden goose, a face that people recognize now since he's been in two Super Bowls, a guy people tune in to watch, a guy who, you know, who pretty much people like to see play. I mean, it's gonna
and it's one of your flagship teams. This ain't the Jayville Jaguars.
Hey, man.
Sorry for the example, sir. I had to use it, though. This ain't Jacksonville. This is Pittsburgh Steelers, man. This is history, tradition.
Yeah, man, they got a long, rich tradition. But you know what? At the end of the day, they ain't no better than anybody else.
I think we're about to see a real down period for the Steelers, man. I hate to throw this prediction out there. You tell me what you think about it. But I think Tomlin's going to be the first Steelers coach not to sit in that chair for you know, a period of 7 to 10 years. I think he's going to be out of there, and I think they're in for a serious downturn. Because once you stop acting on things football wise first, and you have to do this whole image cleanup thing first, then football, your franchise is going to hell, man. It's been proven time and time again in this whole little you know, this whole change, you know, the culture, little talk that we've heard the last couple of years. All of the teams who focus on that first and not football first, they go down. And I think it's going to happen in Pittsburgh. I know you're Mike Tomlin. I know you're a fan of Tomlin. I think he's a good coach too, but let me hear your side of it. I know you probably think he's going to find a way to get it to
I'll
work.
Tell you this much, man. That really ain't Pittsburgh style to be firing coaches. I mean, it had to be a catastrophic failure for them to really get rid of him. But I put it to you this way. They get rid of Mike Tomlin, you got about 8-9 jobs lined up already.
True.
For looking
fire.
So, I mean, it'd be Steelers loss if you ask me. He's pretty damn good coach if you ask me, man. I like
him. But the only thing about it is we've seen people who've been pretty good damn coaches. And once you get a certain stigma on you, it's hard to get it off you, man. Because, I mean, we never hear about Denny Green putting that Cardinals team together, and now Wisenhunt kind of reaped the benefits of it. Now we're going to be dealing with Wisenhunt's players within the next couple of years. But we don't hear anything about what Denny Green did in Arizona. We just hear the crazy post-game rant. He got it done at every stop. But, hell, where's he at now?
Yeah. They don't get second chances in the NFL, man. That's for damn sure.
It was very hard to get them.
A black coach, man, pretty much bank on your ass being out for long, man. And probably not getting in another job afterwards. You probably have to. I mean, the only coaches who've been rehired, man, who've been fired and rehired, Tony Dungy, black coaches.
Right.
I'm trying to think of another guy after Tony Dungy.
I hate to say this, but Art Shell.
Well,
that
Art
last
Shell
time
had to
was
wait
kinda,
a long-ass time. And so did
yeah,
Dave
he was kind of taking bullets for Al Davis at that point.
I'm talking
yeah.
where who got fired. It was like a Mangini type of situation.
Romeo's considered an idiot now.
Yeah, pretty
much. The way people talk about his coaches, game management. Man, Romeo Cannell's a good coach, man.
Dude,
I thought he would get another opportunity.
He ain't a head coach, and I'd hate to see his ass be back in the head coaching position.
You don't like him as a head, you like him as a coordinator?
Nah, he's a coordinator. Same thing with Charlie Weiss. Don't try it.
I don't know, man. This whole situation just creates a whole lot of interesting side topics and different judgments and views that we're going to see expressed by these teams. And, I mean, like I said, this is what I'm predicting the Steelers are going down. We'll see what actually happens, but this is what I'm predicting.
Don't look for the demise so soon, man. I'm telling you.
Well,
right
it's not that I'm looking for a demise. It's just when you start to put the I guess you could say the cart before the horse, and start going character before talent, you're gonna be in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
I'll put it to you this way, man. The organization drafts pretty well.
Yeah, always has.
they got pretty good players. They're always pretty deep, and I think they'll be fine without Santonio Holmes, man.
Oh, I do too. But what kind of handcuffs do you put on that organization when you're talking about they draft well? What changes now that you say, well, we can only have this kind of guy? You know what I mean? Now you're taking a lot of prospects off your board, or you're moving them down on your board. That's a totally different draft experience than, you know, somebody who's moving just through talent and looking at character things issue by issue. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to have to see, man.
Yeah, this is the epitome of wild speculation. So, yeah, I don't know. Did you get a chance to see, switching topics, did you get a chance to see Sam Bradford and John Gruden?
Yeah, man. It was good. That was good TV, man.
Yeah, it was. It was. Gruden was he was real aggressive with the young boy, man. He didn't pull any punches, man. Didn't like how the boys.
And why should he, man? That guy know a lot about quarterbacks, man. Hell, he made Rich Gannon into a damn MVP.
True.
And you remember Rich Gannon, man, where he was before he got with your boy Gruden.
True. He definitely got it done out there in Oakland when he's running with Gruden. But, yeah, that was good TV, man. I like to see that. Maybe we'll see more of that in the next couple of years.
They're supposed to have him on with Tebow and Colt McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
In individual sessions.
Yeah. It's going to be something to see, man. Another draft-related stuff. I seen your boy Ndamukong Suh on Sports Science.
Oh, yeah. Man.
The boy's a beast, man.
Man. I don't know what people are thinking. I mean, you know, sometimes people like to outthink themselves, man. I told you, I saw that kid play. I saw him on top of draft board. And I told you when I was developing my player rankings, man. I saw him play like the third game of the year, man. I think it was about the third game against Virginia Tech, man. He nobody could block him, man. He was making plays, chasing down people from backside, breaking up passes, man. I mean, shit was ridiculous, man. And I said, man, for a defensive lineman, for him to be that active,
right?
My guy, man. Somebody build around this guy, man. At the time, it may have been a couple of handful of other good Nebraska prospects, but he made everybody on that Nebraska defense better.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I would argue that if he's all he's cracked up to be, he could have just as much impact as a good quarterback can. Because if he comes in, and like I said, if he comes in and he's the new Reggie White, that's a big deal. That's a big deal on that D-line. But, yeah, man, he showed off, you know, his speed. They kind of compared his speed off the line to some of the running backs who they had on that show, Sports Science. And the force that he hit the little tackling dummy with was more than Ray Lewis.
Yeah, they said that it was more like a freight train, man.
The boy Sue ain't playing, man. Just point blank, period. Sue is a beast. I'm surprised he's not going number one, man. And I would fall into the people saying I think people are overthinking things on this one.
I'm telling you too, man. That kid looked like he got that desire, man, that nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go out there and prove the best. You know what? I tell you what, man. I hope somebody draft that fucking that damn kid from Oklahoma.
Oh, McCoy? Yeah.
Just so he can wild out, man. Just so Sue can get real riled up. I mean, I imagine that might send him to the breaking point where he comes into the NFL, man, and just looks to destroy people.
As the second tackle off the board, yeah, that would be crazy if he actually was the second tackle drafted. I don't know, man. We'll see how it works out, man. But I'm definitely not betting against this guy. On NBA news, man, I know you know about the billionaire who's supposedly going to be buying the Nets soon.
Yeah.
Prokhorov, however you pronounce the guy's name. Too many letters, man. I can't mess with that right now. But there's a congressman who wants to investigate this guy, saying he might have possible dealings with Mugabe of Zimbabwe. I don't know if you know anybody knows too much about that regime down there, but it's not looking too good in Zimbabwe. So this might be a red flag on the guy, man.
Well, look, he's a billionaire. He got money, man.
I know David Stern's like, man, give me the check. Let's get this over with.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how the NBA is looking at it, man. I don't think there's too many people lined up to buy the Nets. I don't even know what Jay-Z owned percentage. 2%, 3%? Who knows?
It's not even 1%.
He's on. No wonder he's at Knicks games.
Yeah, man.
Get out of there, man.
Right. I'm sure he had to put up a pretty penny to get that piece, but it's a very small little fraction of it.
If they had a meeting of the board members, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have enough percent to be on the table. Be at the table, huh?
But like you said, though, he's a figurehead, though. He's a big guy. So they had him down there when they were trying to get some of that land, and there were people out there protesting. They were going at Jay pretty hard, man. But who knows, man? Maybe they needed a black face up there, man, to make it look a little better.
So he owns about as much as Usher owns in the Cavs, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I thought it was a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I did too.
Who's the other owner, man? What's Nelly? Nelly, who was it, the Bobcats or something?
Yeah, I think Nelly has a piece of the Bobcats. A piece similar to what, you know, Jay is talking about as far as a piece.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of it gets to the point where it seems like a vanity thing.
See?
So, I mean, hey, it is what it is, man. He's dealing with Money Mike. Money Mike J down there, owner of the Bobcats now. Did you get a chance to look at the Mayweather-Mosley 24/7?
No, not yet, man. I imagine I'll probably be on. I have DirecTV, sir. HBO, but I imagine I'll show on DirecTV One here sometime this week. I'll catch that.
Yeah, man, your boy Money May is clowning on there. You know, Sugar Shane's kind of soft spoken and everything, so Money May is the entertainment of it, doing the villain thing once again, man. But it's going pretty good so far, man. He got on there. He said Shane's sitting here talking about a fight for money. I said, what the hell is he talking about? I'm a prize fighter, dummy, prize fighter. So. He's going off, man, talking about Shane. He got a little mad about Shane saying that Floyd looked up to him when he was younger. Kept going off about that. Roger Mayweather was saying something. I don't know what the hell he was saying. But
Floyd's a great fighter.
He can't beat Floyd. He can't beat Floyd. Right, that type of stuff.
Floyd, man, best of all time.
It's entertaining, though, man. It's definitely something to watch. Another thing I got to look at was the USA versus the world, the under-19 basketball game.
Yeah, your boy Barnes put it in there.
Oh, Carolina's back, man. Harrison Barnes can ball, man.
Davis just put his name in the draft today, right?
Yeah, seen that, man. Seen that. Another guy who would have been better off leaving after his freshman year.
I think that's a stupid move, man.
Yeah, I mean, because at this point, since he stayed to this year, he definitely should have gone back and went ahead and proved what he can do. Because right now, you know, he's a bruiser, rebounder. What else can he really do?
Not much.
Yeah, I don't see much from the guy either. I'm going to tell you a guy who you're going to hate, though, man. That Jared Sullinger kid is going to Ohio State. You're going to hate that guy, man.
What, about 6'8"?
Yeah, but he doesn't look like a one and done. He looks like he's going to be there a while, put up numbers, undersized kind of post guy.
Yeah, man.
He had trouble getting his shot off.
Like.
I don't think you're going to like him for the next couple of years, man. He definitely looks like he's going
to
put up 20 and 10.
Hey, man, it ain't like I hate cats in the Big Ten, man. It's just that most of the cats in there, man, they play crappy basketball. Let's be your boy from Ohio State, he's a hell of a player, man.
Sir, what won the national championship this year, though, sir?
Who?
I said, what won the national championship, sir? Big Ten ball.
If that's what you call it, man. I call
it. I mean, it was. It was Big Ten ball.
Hey,
no fast breaks, no leakouts. Everybody's getting back, playing D with rebounds.
That's what happens when you don't have elite athletes, man. That didn't, you know what I mean? That's what happens. What kind of ball you play when you don't have elite athletes, man? I mean, you got to put that slow it down BS.
Hey, I'll say this, though, about that game. Butler got away with a lot, man. Nobody else gets away with being that physical with Duke as far as pushing people, coming off of screens and trying to get open and jumping over people's back, tipping the ball out. Nobody gets away with that. Like, hell, if Tech or Carolina, one of these teams played Duke like that, they beat them by 20. They let Butler get away with murder out there.
Yeah, Butler was putting hands on folks, man. There was a foul at the end of the game. Buddy straight got Nolan Smith straight got mugged and stripped, and there was no foul call. I was like, man, that's a foul if I ever seen one.
And I'm definitely not the person who somebody would say is saying Duke is getting cheated. You know what I mean? But hey, it is what it is. They definitely didn't get the usual Duke treatment, man. They were getting the hell beat out of them all game.
Pretty much, man.
They gritted it out, though, man. What do you think of the kid from Duke if he leaves this year?
Who's that?
The wing guy.
Smith? Nolan Smith?
Not Nolan Smith. I'm sure he'll be back next year. The other wing guy from North Dakota or wherever the hell he's from.
White kid or what?
Yeah, white kid. Shire.
Oh,
he's gone.
Yeah, Stingless. I thought he was is he a junior?
I think so.
I thought he was done, man. But, hey.
I know. It seems like
what it is, man. He could be a role guy. Who knows if he'll be first round. I don't think his game is that elite.
Yeah. I thought he could shoot it better, to be honest. I was kind of surprised he wasn't as good a shooter as I thought he would
be. Yeah, he got real tight there at the end of the at the end of that game, man. He had a wide-ass open jumper that barely drew iron, man. It was damn near the ball. And it was wide the hell open, man. It looked like he shot that tight.
Yeah, that's that Pager shot, man. That Pager versus the Lakers that game six when he hit the side of the backboard. That boy tightened up serious. You was right. You right, though. I remember that shot.
Yeah, I was looking at that, man. I said, man, what in the hell is he doing, man? He couldn't have been more wide open. I was like, man, he might give the game away to him, man.
Yeah.
He almost did. If that shot, that fadeaway buddy shot, man, Hayward, if that shot falls, man, Duke loses for sure, man.
Definitely. Your man Derek Favors is in the draft, too.
Yeah, man, I think I
told you it was going down.
I knew it was going to happen, man, but I still think it's a bad move for him, man. I don't think long-term, man. But then again, I said the same thing about your boy
Thaddeus
Bosch.
Bosch,
man.
Yeah.
I say it was too early, man, because he really improved nothing at Tech, man. He didn't develop nothing. He didn't have nothing coming out. You can't really say Paul Hewitt didn't spend enough time with it, but it just happened. He got a lot of playing time in Toronto, man. Who knows what is going to be the same thing for Derek Favors, man, and he's going to be able to mature. I mean, he didn't really show me that he could hold his own and dominate against guys who were, you know, equal length in college, man. So he really didn't show you much of anything. So who knows what people are getting at the next level. They're just kind of drafting on potential, which is what the NBA does now. They just kind of vision who they want to envision as far as progressing forward. And if it pans out, it pans out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. They'll be drafted into the same position again the next year and the next year after that.
And with the rookie salary cap, you can afford to do it, unlike football. You can afford to get back in the lottery every year. Football, it'll kill you. Basketball, hey, keep trying. Keep throwing that lottery ticket out there. But I like Favors' ability. I just don't like his demeanor. That's my one thing with him. I like aggressive big guys, man.
Yeah,
mouthy big guys. I like aggressive guys. I don't like big guys.
You could say the same thing about Bosch when he came out, man. Bosch was kind of, you didn't really know, man. I mean, it's just kind of hard to say what Bosch was in college, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it panned out for him, man. He's pretty solid, aggressive guy, man.
Right.
In the NBA, I mean, his game was, so you don't really know what the hell you're going to get from them, Derek Favors at the next level.
True. Looking at the playoff seeding, man, I mean, in the East, it looks like most of this stuff is going to hold. Got Cleveland, Chicago, Orlando, Charlotte, ATL, Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, and Toronto. Oh, no, they're not. What the hell am I talking about, Toronto? Yeah, but either way, man, you see anything there as far as potential upsets or somebody getting dragged into a long series?
Man, I still don't buy Cleveland this year, man. I don't care how better record they have, man. We're going to see, man, because, you know, Cleveland still want to play that up-and-down run game, man. I don't even know if your boy Shaq's going to have that low post game to make them kind of the kind of team that's going to be able to score in the half court, which, you know, pretty much everybody knows. When the playoff time comes, that's where you're going to have to score your point in a half court set. It ain't going to be that run them up and down, shoot them up, gun type of stuff. People are going to slow it down. They're going to defense going to clamp on, and we'll see how good you can score in the half court. We'll see how good Cleveland is, man. And I think they'll probably make it to the championship game, man. But once again, man, we'll see. I still think that Orlando is going to give them problems.
Orlando has the most talent 1 through 12 in the league. I think they should give them problems. I don't know if I trust Van Gundy as far as doing what he's supposed to do. Cleveland plays exceptional defense, and, you know, it's going to be a good series, though. It's definitely not like you say, it's presented like Cleveland is very, very much better than Orlando, but they're really not. They're a little bit better, but not way better. So, I mean, the series can go either way. But that talent on Orlando, man, 1 through 12, I don't know, man. It makes you wonder what the hell Van Gundy is doing. You're talking about Jameer Nelson, Jason Williams as the backup, and you have two wing defenders who can spread the floor and shoot threes. Most teams don't have one great defender. They have, you know, the boy Petrus and, you know, light-skinned guy who bothered Kobe a little bit.
Matt Barnes,
yeah. I mean, most teams don't have wings like that. So, I mean, they can be a problem for Cleveland. You're right on that one. The one thing is Antoine Jameson going to show up that series? Vince or Antoine, who's going to do it? We're going to see the crybaby Vince that doesn't want to go to the rack, gets hit, and start shooting jump shots? Or we're going to see Vince Sanity? And then with Jameson, is he going to give them that 17 or whatever a game they need?
What the hell is this, man? Terry Bradshaw spouting off about Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, man. They brought the old guy out, man. Damage control, baby. They got to get it done. Out west, I guess, totally different story since we don't know what the hell's going to happen as far as the seeding. Because, I mean, some team could go from 5 to 8 or whatever overnight. But the way it's looking, your Lakers might see Oklahoma City.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's bad for KD, though, that first round. I wanted to see Durant for a while, man.
Yeah, I don't like that matchup. But, hey, man, Lakers need somebody to light a fire up under them, man. Get them going, man. I think your boy Ron Artest brought them cats down a little bit. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Hey, man, we've been saying it all year that it was a mistake, and now you got to kind of hope that Ron comes around and gets everything together, but I think people are making too much of the whole Lakers are just waiting on the playoffs type of thing. And I think that's kind of like the Cleveland situation. They are better than everybody out there, but not by that much to where they can just coast. This ain't the damn 97 Bulls we're talking about here. It's a good team, but they're not that.
Yeah, man, I didn't like – I mean, they haven't been playing real good at all, man. I have – I have no idea what to expect from those guys this year, man.
Well, I'll tell you this, they're going to beat the hell out of Oklahoma City. But do you think Dallas or Denver is worthy of really giving them a series?
What was that?
Do you think Dallas or Denver can really give them a series or possibly beat them?
Denver possibly, yeah.
Because right, we know Cleveland has their hands full with Orlando. It's going to have their hands full. But L.A., hey, like you said, Denver possibly, Dallas possibly. About it, unless the Spurs have some type of serious resurgence, but who knows?
Boy, Manu been on a mission.
And Manu was killing people. Manu was getting that contract in order, man.
Yeah, he been on a mission, man.
This is the last year of the contract. It's time to put it up.
They re-upped him, though. They had to.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to. Can you trade a guy with that kind of injury history and get anything? I mean, yeah, had to do it. I don't know how much of a difference he can really make. Another thing I wanted to speak on, man, was like the whole idea of bulletin board material, like what flies now is bulletin board. Like you could say anything. Well, these guys aren't going to do this, that, and, you know, people blow it up, gets out there, and it's a big media sensation. Man, you go back to the early 90s, this boy, Reggie Miller, after the Knicks choked away a win, this man got on the camera 5 seconds into the interview. They choked. They always choked. I knew we had it. I knew we was going to win it. They choked. I mean, they always come up short. This man said this on the interview before game seven. We don't see guys really that outspoken anymore because
people, man, you don't, I mean, some of this is the kind of makeup these, some of these cats, man. I think some of these coaches and the teams, man, they don't want guys to be really outspoken, man. I think that's what it is a byproduct of. That's why you don't see too much of that because guys, you know, coaches want to be the leaders of the team. They don't want players speaking out and saying things off the cuff, man, drawing attention to themselves. They want players to be players and coaches to do the coaching and.
But see, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Are we talking about athletics or are we running a lemonade stand here? You know what I mean? Is this a business or a sport? It has potential to be both, but it has to be one more than the other.
Well, in this case, it probably is more of a business than it is a sport, man, because there's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah. And the one who suffers from that is who? The fan, the one who's putting the money up. That's a sad situation, man, because I want to see a guy tell me he's going to do this or do that and go out and do it, man. So what great moments are for, man, free expression, man. If there was somebody in Ali's ear telling him not to say this and not to say that, we would have never got what we got from him. So I want to hear the outspoken, the flamboyant. I want to see all of that.
I do too, man.
And I want to see the button-down guy who that's who he is. He wants to be a button-down guy. Well, you know what I mean? There's no problem with that either. There's a reason some guys were intimidating back in the day. How they carried themselves, didn't speak much, and when they did, it was something serious. I mean, it plays both ways, but either way, just give a player the option of doing that. We don't need robot guys out there, man.
I agree with you, man. Definitely agree with you.
But yeah, was there anything else you wanted to get into, man? I know I've been spouting off, man, on these last two topics, man, but I really had to get it out there, man.
Well, man, I just wanted to speak, one other thing, man. Speaking on the baseball opening week last week, man. Man, we've been ultra hype about this kid, Jason Hayward, man.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable, man. Hank Aaron was talking about, man, this guy is going to bring back, you know, the black sport athlete into baseball. I mean, there's a lot of things being said, man. People say a lot of things with expectations on this kid, man. I'm going to watch him play, man. He's definitely a talent, man, but it's like, man, come on, man. Can they just let this guy materialize the way he should materialize, man, and just, you know, let him come into his own. I mean, damn, Hank Aaron, could you put more pressure on the guy than there already was? I mean, God.
Yeah, they're putting it heavy on that man's shoulders, man. I mean, we're going to see if he's going to be able to come through. And I would say, you know me, man, I dabble in baseball. But seeing Chipper Jones go down the other day, is that something that's going to really affect his rookie year, period?
Nah.
Like the health of Chipper?
Nah, man. I watched the kid play yesterday, man. The kid, I really got a chance to watch him, really swing the bat. And needless to say, man, I could see why people are raving about his skills, man, because he does a lot of things that are not like rookies, man. You know, making, being very patient, making adjustments, up to bat, you know, keying in on what people are trying to do, and then, you know, developing a game plan against that. I mean, that's very unrookie-like, man. And you can see why the ceiling is so high for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And be a 6'5" guy, man. He looks like he's very athletic out there, man. I can see why, but people gotta let this kid mature, man. I mean, it just the hype, man, and the.
But that's not what we do anymore, though, Bonzi. This is what we do.
Yeah, but
if you're a top prospect, we're gonna hype you. If you come out to be what we think you are, then you're gonna be put on a pedestal. If you don't, you become one of the forgotten guys. The who is it, Van Poppel, and you know what I mean? All these other teenage prodigies who never, Michelle Wee, who never really materialized into what we thought. But this is what we do. The same, like you said, the kid won't get a chance to, you know what I mean? The worst part about it is it clouds people's judgment as far as if they would have liked the guy. At some point, some people won't have the opportunity to because he's been pushed so hard.
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy, man. I saw, you know, in a little bit of time I've got to watch him for this past couple of weeks, take a few bats, man, check out his swing. I like everything I saw, man. I don't see where this kid can be found unless he just plays out of character and try to live up too much about the hype with what people are saying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Let this guy come into his own, man.
Jeff Francois was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, The Natural.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, you could see it ain't the same situation with Francois, man. Francois was a free swinger, grip it and rip it, man. You know, there's very few guys who last long like that in baseball, man, because eventually guys find, you know, pitchers find holes in their swings. Pitchers find pitches that they can throw to guys in certain situations. That they can, they know they can't hit, they can't drive the ball on the, you know, just you can see it with the same thing with Andrew Jones on the outside curveball, man, or the outside slider. He couldn't hit it, man, and people kept throwing. He couldn't hit it, and he couldn't lay off of it. And the same thing with Jeff Francois, man. People started pitching him a certain way, and he was swinging at pitches that he just couldn't hit, and he kept swinging at him, you know. Refused to take walks, refused to do some of the things to try and combat, you know, what people are trying to do. You know, it's a game. Sometimes if people are coming at you on what is perceived to be a weakness, you got to find a way to combat that. You know what I mean? And I saw that, a little bit of that with Hayward, man. They were showing a little piece last night. The kid, the way that they were pitching him after, you know, first couple of games in the season, they started throwing him outside and away, and he adapted to that and really roped one yesterday for a home run from the same things that people were trying to pitch to him, the same way people were trying to pitch to him the whole game yesterday. He really combated that, started taking the ball the other way, went 3-for-3 yesterday. And, you know, all that bodes well for long-term success, man. And,
right.
Those are things that Francois never really learned, man. I mean, the guy's a heck of a player, man. He was a heck of an athlete. Still is, man. Got a lot of great tools. But, man, I think mentally between the ears, I think Hayward got a lot more upstairs. That's not a knock on Francois.
Right.
Yeah, it's just Hayward got a lot more upstairs, man. that I'll really say, man, this kid could really have a lot of long-term success.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an interesting thing about sports, man, because you think about in basketball terms, somebody like Magic Johnson, and you think about all the other people who were a lot quicker and way more athletic than him, but didn't understand the actual game, nowhere near on the level that he did. And no matter what, like you said, man, that bodes well for longevity and I hate to say it, but greatness. And, you know, hopefully he's able to realize that potential. Are you to the point now where if you're doing something and you flip on and you see that Hayward's on deck, he's about to come with the bat, do you make sure you stay and watch it, or do you flip to it to see if he's
Absolutely.
Up the bat?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, he's that good, man. I mean, 3 home runs, your opening week of baseball, your kids batting 300. I mean, first week. I mean, it could, you know, like you could say a lot of rookies could have that, but I mean, it's like I said, man, for all the hype to come up and produce like this, and, you know, eventually after his first way around the league, you know, people will develop a book on him and they will try to pitch him a certain way. But like I said, his, you know, the way I see him thinking, the way you could see him making adjustments and actually thinking about what people are trying to do to him, and then developing a game plan to go against that. And he's got a very good eye. Doesn't swing at a lot of balls. You know, he's mainly swinging at a lot of strikes. As far as I'm seeing, even when he was striking out a lot of times, I think he struck out 4 times in the game before yesterday on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He still came back. And, you know, like I say, he made adjustments. So, you know, pitchers sometimes going to have their, you know, they're going to have your number. It's important how you bounce back. And it looks like that kid already has that type of ability, man, to come back, you know, adjust to what people are trying to do, how those pitchers are trying to pitch him. You know, it looks like he has that ability. So,
yeah.
I look forward to watching him, man. It's going to be interesting.
I guess we'd be wrong, man, if we didn't say anything about Mickelson winning the Masters. Tiger came up short, but he finished in the top 5.
Yeah.
Tiger came up short. Your thoughts on that? Like, is this what you expected? Or?
Nah, man, I watch the Masters, man. I usually do, man, when Tiger's in contention. I usually watch it on Sunday, man. As I do most majors, it's just kind of a sports fan thing, man. Whatever the major stuff are on, man, it could be whatever. Even if I don't really traditionally watch the sport, it's something big. If it's the big event for that sport, I usually tune in and watch a bit of it. And I watched a pretty good amount of Masters yesterday. And tell you the truth, man, Tiger Woods, man, could have won that shit. He could have, man. He messed up. If he would have maintained par on some of those, at least 5 holes that he had trouble with yesterday, he might have won that thing, man.
That's crazy. This guy,
man, I mean, he finished 11 under. If he maintains par, man, he probably could have finished by 14-15. He would have been right there with Mickelson. Seriously.
This guy takes 60 days off, comes back with all the controversy, and like I said, damn near wins it.
Yeah, he gave himself a chance, and he was right there. So, I mean, let's put it this way. Yeah, all the crap people talk, you know, let's be real. Tiger Woods is still the best golfer. I don't care what anybody says. You just look at the numbers, man. The guy still is the best. He is the best. The numbers prove it. The ratings prove it. I don't know what else you have to look at to say that he's number one. I mean, it is what it is at some point. You know, you have your guys who, you know, since it's an individual sport, you have your individual rivalries, guys who will step up and win their share. But when you come at it and you look at it overall, man, Tiger Woods is the best golfer, hands down. He's
without a legit rival, because there's no you know, there's no back and forth. There's no number two who's nipping on his heels. So it's,
yeah, Mickelson, man, as good as he is, I mean, he's very good. You know, I was talking to my brother yesterday about this. For some reason, I find myself not liking Mickelson. I asked myself the question. I was like, why is that? Same thing with my brother. Don't like Mickelson. And I asked him, I was like, what is it about Mickelson? I couldn't answer the question. I could not figure it out. For some reason.
Do you think he's phony? That's the main
No, not really, man. There's really not much not to like about Mickelson. I mean, obviously I cheer for Tiger Woods, you know, but that has nothing to do with it. I just couldn't really find a reason why I didn't like it. I was like, there's really no reason not to like Phil Mickelson.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a real cool guy. I mean.
Got a lot of charity work.
Yeah, man, there's really nothing not to like about Phil Mickelson, man. His golf game is good. Other than the fact that, you know, you either a Tiger guy or a Mickelson guy, I don't really see much not to like about Mickelson, man.
And I got to ask this too, man. What are your thoughts on the commercial? The Nike spot with Tiger just looking into the camera with his father's voiceover?
Hey, man. I mean, it ponders the question. Everybody ponders the question about what would his dad say, you know, if he was been alive. And, you know, it kind of leads to the fact that, you know, he did not only let himself down, his family down, but the vision of what his dad had for him, that wasn't it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
using somebody else's voice, man, when they're not around to tell you, give you the yay and nay.
Yeah, man, but it's kind of like this, man.
Yeah.
I think he felt, I think it was kind of in poor taste, but I understand what what Nike was trying to do. It really shouldn't have been a Nike commercial. I'll tell you the truth, man. It really shouldn't have been a Nike. It should have been something Tiger did.
It's just a quick anecdote that you talk about in the interview. I thought about what my father would say about me doing this, and I
exactly.
You know, thought about a conversation we had. This is not something you try to commercialize into selling golf clubs, man.
I understand what Nike was trying to do, man, say, you know, hey, he's back. And we're going to make a statement.
Yeah.
You know, just like how they made a statement when he came out, man. When he started playing professionally, they made a statement with the whole thing about, those clubs that he couldn't play on, you know, the whole aspect
right.
of golf and people of color, you know.
This is a different issue. And like I said, I think this is something he should have just covered quickly in the interview. I don't think they should have tried to make money off. I'm not taking this like other people are taking it, because there's some sports radio hosts out there who went crazy over this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is disgusting. This is just a bad idea from somebody in marketing or whatever.
Yeah,
disgusting,
man,
I think it's a little
tasteless, man. I wouldn't use the word. See, that's the thing about these guys, man. They like to be bombastic in what they say, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
It's not that bad. It's bad,
not,
but
they've done
much worse. Wait, they did much worse with the whole play on the Malcolm X thing, the I Am Tiger Woods. That was disgusting to me, but this didn't bother me. I just thought it was stupid.
Yeah, man, it was a little, like I said, it was tasteless, man, but hey, look.
Right.
At the end of the day, man, like I said, man, this whole thing with people saying about Tiger and, you know, what he did, man, like, oh, my God.
He cheated on his wife, man. No bigger than that. He cheated on his wife.
Yeah, man. You know, at the end of the day, man, just people get over it. I mean, shit. He wasn't like he was there sleeping with teenage girls, man.
Right.
Really, people get over yourselves, man. That's what I feel like saying. I mean.
The moral police are out there, man, full-fledged, man. They're ready to police everyone else's lives to not look at their own. And it makes people feel better for some reason out here.
Yeah, man, this is a bunch of bullshit, man. That's what I look at it. I'm just speaking like you think it. I'm telling you,
yeah.
It's a bunch of bullshit. Look, Tiger ain't the first dude to cheat on his wife. He ain't gonna be the last. Yeah, when Tiger's of the damn mindset that, like, hey, you know, whatever I do it to the best of my ability. And you damn sure, when he cheated, he did the shit to the best of his ability. Look at the damn amount of chicks.
Looking at some of those women, I don't know about that, man.
I'm not talking about the quality. I'm just talking about the quantity.
The quantity,
If you're going to cheat, he really
Go
went
hard.
To cheat. Yeah, he went hard at it.
He went hard at it. He wasn't the pickiest dude, but he went hard at it. But You know, shout out to the Stewart brothers, man. The boy Ryan Stewart, what did he say, man? The noose is undefeated?
Yeah, that's the truth, son.
It is,
top
man.
Of a lot of cats, man. It's top of a lot of cats. And, man, you like, what's they say, what they say, man? You could go broke. What's that say, man? I forget what they used to say. Something about you could go I forget what they say, man. But it says something.
What
something
you can get, you can get a lot making money, but you never get.
Yeah, you could get broke chasing a lot of things, like pussies and all kinds
uh-huh.
of things. You never go broke, you know, trying to make money. Tiger Woods, you know, he the kind of chicks he was messing with, man. He really messed himself up. But
hey, man, you murdered that quote there, man. I can't remember.
I can't
correct you on it either because I can't think of it either, man. So we just let it say,
yeah.
We let it lay, man. But I got what you're talking about, though. I definitely got what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. The Stews are right about that, man. And you see it every time. Ben Roethlisberger, another example, man.
Yeah.
You get toppled over the pussy, man. You gotta be, man. You know when you got that much shit to lose, man. Be smart about it, man. Look. Like I said, man, you know, the high-profile guy like that shouldn't be in no bathroom with no chick trying to get whatever. I don't know, man. Maybe he's trying to get a hand job. Who the hell knows? I'm just saying, you that type of guy, man, you shouldn't be. This is kind of shit college people do.
Exactly.
Kind of nonsense. And you know another thing I'm going to say about this, man? Look, people are young. They make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people make mistakes. A lot of people do things that they regret later on. But, you know, this kind of thing I'm looking at the NFL with people with character issue. Man, if your track record has been pretty immaculate for a couple of mistakes and you're a young person, that's not a character issue. That's a mistake.
Exactly.
That's a
exactly.
mistake. That is not a character. I looked at the thing for Carlos Dunlap.
It's a mistake.
It was a character issue. It was a mistake.
What's the kid that was at Miami and Oklahoma and everywhere? Willie Warren, was that the linebacker's name?
Yeah. When you have a litany
that's
of offenses,
character issue.
That's a character issue. When it's all the way up till you get to the draft, you know,
right.
I'm talking about from middle school, high school, college, like you got a whole litany of offenses. That's a character issue.
Right.
A mistake is a mistake. You know what I mean? And I hear you. And one thing, you know, these guys who the talking heads on TV, they like to all repeat each other. They like to say the same things.
How long have we been hearing character and culture change? How long have we been hearing that? The last 4 years,
yeah,
three, four
they
years?
They all like to, once one talking head says something, they all fall in line, man. It's
mm-hmm.
not a character issue if you've made a couple of mistakes.
Right.
It's a character issue if that is part of your character and it's been a repeatable offense throughout your character.
If we're judging everything by the same standards, then the last 12 years, well, no, not the last 12 years, well, the last 9 years, we wouldn't have a president of the United States of America.
Exactly.
George Bush had drug issues back in the day. Obama had drug issues back in the day. We wouldn't have a president. Well, I don't want to say that, but we'd have somebody totally different. We'd have somebody totally different. If one isolated incident makes you a character, whatever.
Yeah,
and you'll never be able to come back from it. Because that's the way that they present it.
Like
this is
know,
who he is, and that's it.
But, you know, that's how it is, man. Look, the people who are in the public eye, man, they don't get a chance. It's almost like a criminal. When you're a criminal, you can't afford to miss once. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
the same thing when you're in the public limelight. You can't afford to fall once. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, your mistakes are going to be magnified so much bigger, and it's going to be so much more made out of it. You know, it's like a criminal and a cop. A criminal can't afford to miss once. A cop,
right.
He can miss many times as he wants. We in the public, the regular Joes, we can make as many mistakes. We're not going to be judged and held up to, you know, over, you know, scrutiny like a guy who's in
but
the public.
But these are the guys who are, a lot of guys who are pointing the finger.
Yeah.
That's these other guys making one mistake like they haven't made any in their lives.
I guarantee you some of those sponsors who dropped Tiger Woods were the same dudes or probably some of the same cats who are cheating on their wives themselves. Look, I'm not saying it's right. Morally, it's reprehensible what Tiger Woods did. But at the end of the day, man, look, guy didn't have no sex with no underage children. He didn't hurt nobody. I mean, other than his wife, feeling wise. He didn't physically harm anybody.
And how bad that is determined by her.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because that's who he wronged. How bad it is determined by her.
And people talking about, oh, I can't forgive Tiger. Tiger Woods didn't do nothing to you.
You don't know him, you can't forgive him.
Tiger Woods didn't touch you. Tiger Woods didn't do nothing to you. Other than all you can say is I feel disappointed in him. That's the only thing that you should be able to say, yeah, I feel disappointed in Tiger because I expected more out of him than that. But you know what, man? At the end of the day, people are human, man.
And also, there's another thing too, man. A marketing campaign is a marketing campaign. You don't know these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
you don't know these people. You don't know anything about Tiger, but what you knew then. So, talking about you're disappointed in what? The image that you thought he was? I mean, hell, it goes for anybody. People finally meet Michael Jordan for the first time. A lot of people are disappointed.
Yeah, man. It is what it is, man. People just need to chill. The media hyping everything up. Man, it's 2010. People should be used to this. People like to jump on the next scandal and make it like it's the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of scandal reports. But in all essence, man, people should be used to this. I'm surprised when people don't get busted for this type of stuff. Because like I said, man, when you got that type of fame and celebrity, man, I mean, there's so much opportunities, man, that you know, as an average guy, you take me and you, an average guy, and you give us a bunch of money, a bunch of free time, access to a lot of beautiful women, how much trouble do you think we could get into? I mean, let's be real.
I could get into a lot, man.
You could get yourself into some sticky situations.
True.
No pun intended.
True. And to think that I would need to over-apologize in every statement or every person I meet, I would need to over-apologize to make up for it, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, man, and Billy Payne was out of order for that coming out Tiger Woods kind of crap, man. Look, man, the man done said what he had to say. Billy Payne, you don't have to point your finger from no podium and talk about, you know, how we expected more Tiger Woods. It's not your place, man.
So what if he'd have packed up and went home? What if he'd have packed up and went home?
I'm sure they wouldn't.
So, I mean, you're talking that ish, but you got him there. So, I mean, if that's how you really felt, don't invite him this year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So get out of here, man, with that guy.
Billy
Payne needed to damn keep his mouth shut, know his role. Your role ain't to damn tell anybody what the hell that they, you know, what morally they should, you know, how you felt.
That's that Clay Davis, man. You're shining for the camera, man. You know what I mean?
Man,
shout out to the wire.
Man. Keep your mouth shut, man, and run the Masters tournament. That's what your job is. This ain't church, Billy Payne. He wasn't coming to a house of worship.
We've seen
his wife and God himself.
We've seen Tiger Woods condemned harder than the Pope was, who's dealing with that scandal with some of the priests doing what they were doing.
Hey, man, people pick and choose their battles, man. that thing been going on for years, man. Ain't nobody picking it on the churches, man, because man, that's all hush hush. People get hush money, you know.
I'm just saying. They bang hard on Tiger, man, but they're kind of quiet on. Kind of quiet on that front.
These same people, man, whose kids getting raped in the same by people in the church that they trust. But yeah, we find I ain't saying it was right what Mike Vick did, but anytime you look at that more reprehensible than somebody sexually abusing children,
yeah,
you ready to kill a man because he killed a dog, and you ain't ready to kill a man because he's sexually abusing a child? Something wrong with you. You need to look in the mirror.
definitely. 100 behind you on that one, man. And
this one thing I say is unforgivable.
And that ain't even over. The Vic situation is not over. He's not done. He still has it's the reason. There's a reason why he's still in Philly. Partly because they wanted to keep him to see what he could do as far as with Kobe, and partly because, you know, his market is still affected by this whole situation. Even after going to Leavenworth, going to Philly, being mentored by Tony Dungy, even after, there's still a lot of backlash against the man.
Yeah, man, like I said, man, people, man, really, really ridiculous, man. I'm just going to leave it at that, man. People True. Need to really look at themselves in the mirror, man. If you're angry about some stuff that really don't matter, that really don't matter in your day-to-day life, you really need to look in the mirror and reevaluate your priorities. That's all I'm going to say. And for all the talking heads out there who want to bang the drum, God forbid someone catch you in a bad situation. We'll see how much you learn forgiveness. We'll see how much you learn forgiveness from that. Be careful
right.
when you come out and you condemn something. I think you've seen a couple of preachers be fallen from their own words when they came out and condemned certain people for certain things. Say that
True.
You don't agree with what they did, but when you condemn somebody and saying that they should never come back, or they, you know, be careful what you say. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say.
People taking stuff way too far, man. But, yeah, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio, man. We let loose today, man, on different topics, man. Anything else you wanted to cover before we get out of here, man?
Nah, man, I think I said more than a mouthful, son.
That's what's up, man. I've been joined by Craig Barzee, man. Y'all catch us on here every Monday, man, putting it down once again. Speaking Like You Think It Radio, and catch us next week, man.
We out.
We out.